Welcome back to Filthy. There's still three of us. The good news is, though, it's not two Man U man and Arsenal Lippy. I got my boy Woody in the building. Woodsman. Yeah? But this is why this is relevant. Obviously, being us in the building as well. Big up my dog, them. But why this is relevant? This is actually a man that tried to qualify for the World Cup for
Montserrat.
You may not have heard of them. It's about 26 men on the island. And Woodsy. What's their record?
I am from Montserrat, though.
You're Montserrat as well? Oh my God. I've never seen two Montserrat men in the same production, unless it's the football team.
I was trying to get him a call up at one stage, I'm not gonna lie. I could have got him a call up, but you know what I'm saying?
The legs went early, man.
Yeah, man, I was trying to get him a little call up, man. But yeah, man, there's more than 26 people in Montserrat, but you know, we're here.
Joking, it's there. But obviously, the majority of the boys are still at the World Cup. Crowd, let us know if some of the squad should be sent back to help the UK squad. Or are these three-man panels helping your ears? Because I know some of the men that aren't here, yo, if they was here, it would feel like a six-man team. But either way, this episode of Filthy Fellas is brought to you by none other than Sailie.
On the daily.
See, this is a remix. Oh my God. Venus is caught on, you know. Get with the program.
Do it again. Yeah?
We're going to do it again. We're going to go again.
Good, yeah?
All right, then. I'm going to count down. 3, 2, 1.
Sailing on the daily.
Oh. IGLP, free man, you know. We'll do free man. Put them man on extra filthy only. Yeah, only Margs is allowed back. Yeah, I'm joking. Obviously, travelling soon. Maybe you're heading to the World Cup. Check out Sailie, the eSIM app that gives you affordable mobile data in over 200 destinations worldwide. Instead of paying expensive roaming fees or hunting for local SIM cards, just download the app, choose a plan, and get connected as soon as you arrive. Sailie offers flexible plans for every budget, built-in security features to help block trackers and malicious sites, easy data usage tracking, and 24/7 customer protection. And if you're going to the World Cup, Sailie's North America plan covers all three hosting countries. That's USA, Canada, and Mexico, with one plan, no SIM swapping, and no surprise roaming fees throughout the tournament. North America plan users get an exclusive 35% off for the first time purchase. Use code FILTHYFELLAS at the checkout for that. Download Sailie from your app store, scan the QR code on the screen, use code FILTHYFELLAS at checkout for 15% off your first purchase. Full details are in the description box and the pinned comment below. One more time, boys.
Sailie on the daily.
They have to give us more bread for this, man. They have to.
Man, they didn't know we was like Jodeci.
So let's get into it, man. A conflict of interest for me. Mm-hmm. I'm born and bred in England.
All right.
But my father and his family are from Ghana.
Oh.
So they're asking me who I'm supporting.
Yeah, I was just about to ask
they're
that.
They're asking me who I'm supporting. And do you know why I'm really conflicted this time? Because you see, usually when it's England, I explained it to you. Mm-hmm. It's Paul Scholes and them man there.
Yeah.
It's Gerrard.
Yeah.
It's Beer Man that ain't my people, them Lampard, mm-hmm. Rooney. I've got respect for all of these ballers, but they're not my ballers. But you see Declan Rice, you see Bukayo Saka, you see Nonny, you see Eze. Those are my ballers.
They're my dogs as well this World Cup, though.
But you know the difference is, though, Venus.
What?
You see Semenyo, that's my cousin. So I have to I gotta be with Ghana.
Related how?
What? Through Ghana, man. Through Ghana, hairline, you got a bit of pace. Like, I feel related to these guys, man. You understand? But all jokes aside, you mentioned Panama. You've played against Panama.
Yeah, I played
before. How was it?
They're a good team, technical.
Yeah,
very. You get what I'm saying? Obviously, yeah. You know, like a lot of the teams over that side of the world, they're very like technical
good
players.
On the ball, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're ballers. Mm. They beat us. Do you know what I mean? Had them.
What was the score?
You should have gave me the call up, man. I could have made the difference.
No, I don't think he could have helped us at this one still. The nitrous gas weren't going to...
You're saying it was a mad one. What was the score?
1-1 at half time and then they ran away with it.
I said, what was the score? 1-1 at half time.
You know what? He tried to drop that in the car to me. It was 1-1 at half time. Bro, tell me the score. Oh, nah, I don't know the score, you know.
They ran away with it. It was 4-1.
You know what? Ghana, we played Panama in the opener and I was quite confident. We got the 3 points. But bro, we only had 37% possession, all kind of substitutes. I see our managers, Carlos Queiroz, Alex Ferguson was probably there in the background. Like, we needed everything to get them 3 points. So they're not a joke.
No, they're not a joke, man. They're not a joke. Yeah. Like, it's super dope playing against those type of teams. And for me, realistically, I like to see those type of teams make the World Cup this year.
100%,
the structure's been different. And 100%. It's been enjoyable seeing a lot of teams in the World Cup that I played against. Obviously, Panama... pipped us to it just about, but you know, sad goals.
Bro, they battered you, lot. What are you talking about?
Excuse me?
They battered us. Sorry, they battered us.
Oh, yeah. See, try to excuse himself, you know, try to go sick.
See, because the W wasn't there, I had to de-link myself from it. You get me? I had to de-link myself from
it. Obviously, the previous meeting between Ghana and England came back in 2011 at Wembley. 1-0, Asamoah Gyan beating Joe Hart right at the end. Asamoah Gyan, he's from the Gar tribe. That's my tribe in Ghana.
Okay.
Asamoah Gyan, see him with the little dance in the changing room after they won. Love that. Crowd, who put England ahead that game? I want to say Peter Crouch, but he did the robot against Jamaica, my other country. I just remember all the players that mash up my country.
I feel like it was an Arsenal player.
Was it?
I don't know.
A win tonight sees England into the next round. Ghana are ranked 65th in the world and are England's weakest opponents in the group. We're below Panama.
Wow.
Nah, you man didn't even lose to anyone. That was a madness. But Panama is above 64th.
So basically, Montserrat had a better chance against Ghana off the FIFA ranking.
I'll be real. The fact we're lower than the fact we're 65th, you lot might be 67th. You lot might be 67th. Because I don't know who's 80th. I don't even know if it goes down that
it
far.
It does. It goes it down does to far. Like 200.
Oh, my days.
Yeah.
Faroe Islands. 187.
San Marino.
What
San
is Montserrat's rating, though?
I think our highest we got up to is maybe like 162.
162.
Yeah, but you know, for the population, that's not bad.
But let me explain something to you. So you see how the rankings goes, right?
Yeah.
It's based on friendlies, how much structure you have at your ground. A lot of different things go into the points that you get to move up the rankings. It's just not about wins. Now, obviously, Montserrat. I don't want to keep talking about him because I know...
Why are you pointing at me, bro?
He pointed at your cousin. Bro. He said, cuz, are you?
I'm with
you,
Killy.
He said Desmond as well. And he tries to take up and said Desmond more times. But so a lot of how the rankings work is very technical. So obviously we don't have a lot of funding.
The infrastructure,
And the infrastructure. So we don't get to play friendlies as frequent as other nations. And that's why a lot of some of those lower nations might stay down there.
Even the top ones are kind of fried. Like, I remember Belgium was top for a while and everyone was just buying into, oh, they got De Bruyne, Vertonghen.
Everyone was in everyone.
That was Belgium.
Do you know what it is? You're lying if you say you wasn't in the Belgium hype.
I wasn't, man.
Everyone was. Do you know what it is?
I'm anti-Tottenham. So that Vertonghen and Alderweireld thing, I weren't having it.
No, but that was their number one bad thing, innit? Back in the day, they had 4 centre-backs in the back line, correct me if I'm wrong, innit? Something like that, innit? So, other than that, their midfield and attack, it's like, well, FIFA put them up there and they were ranting and raving about
it. They were enjoyable, like you said, FIFA. On paper, they look good, you get me? Eden Hazard on the left.
Yannick Carrasco.
Yeah, Carrasco on the right. Lukaku in the middle. De Bruyne, Witzel.
Yanazai.
Yanazai, they had that. Was it?
No,
they had a U. He ended up playing for Burnley. What was his name again? But he was decent midfielder.
Nainggolan.
Yeah, Nainggolan.
Didn't he used to smoke bear fags? Is it him?
Nainggolan's the one with the Mohican. But yeah, no, they had it. And obviously, Courtois and goal. On paper, they had it, bro.
Yeah, they had it. They was looking like they was going to be cooking, but you know how it goes, man. Football's 11 men versus 11 men.
It's not one on the team sheet.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it's just how it goes, man. But their golden era was, it was good to...
It's 100%,
The hype was good. Do you know what I mean?
It was good. Like, I mean, you even mentioned Vincent Kompany. They had a good team.
They had Kompany.
They had a good team. I forgot about that. They did have a good team. Even Carrasco, I forgot about him. They had a decent team, man. And they were all playing, they were all winning things in their domestic league. And
Definitely had decent teams, man.
So yeah, England are quite similar to that. If we're being honest, they always got the names on the team sheet.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last, I'll say 5 years or so, it's looking like it's coming together quite well.
Let me touch base on that.
Mm.
So obviously, what I like about this World Cup is this year, Thomas Tuchel has picked players that are not all name brand players. Obviously, there's a few missing. We know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not highlight that. But let's keep to what we're saying here. And what we're saying here is this. They look like they've started well.
Mm-hmm.
And
Not look like. Bro, put some respect on that first game. I don't care what anyone says.
That was good.
Put some respect on that first game. England scored 4 goals. They started
well. They responded.
3 Arsenal players assisting.
That's what I'm saying, man.
You understand?
Can I ask you one thing, though?
I just threw that in there to rattle you still.
This is for Greg as well. What, are corners back in fashion?
What do you mean? Were they ever out? I need to ask you this. Because I seen a man call Declan Rice the best corner taker in the world. And they was vexed. So I'm here to ask, who's better? Because that was from the other side. Man said he only got the in-swinger. When the out-swinger, they're there as well.
Yeah, but you've not answered my question.
Mm-hmm.
Are corners back in fashion?
They were never out of fashion.
But then this is what I'm saying.
Oh, you want to do that to me?
No, but I'm just
I was rating Bruno's corners.
No, but...
I'm rating Bruno's corners.
I've never rated
Bruno's corners.
I withdraw my question.
I just had to sprinkle a bit of doo-doo on it, Carl. You lot try to put bear doo-doo on Declan's corners.
No.
Not you, but the people.
No, yeah, I'm representing them today. Yeah. No, we wasn't. Like, what are you talking about? No, we wasn't. It's when Declan's fell off and Bruno stepped up, you lot started throwing doo-doo
Declan
on
never
them.
Fell off. Did you see the Arsenal Player of the Season video? That is editing. Yeah?
Editing.
Man said, showed him at the beginning. Yeah, man, I'm here to win trophies with the Arsenal, man. Next scene, trophy G, dead there. First one in 22 years, 105 million, looking like
a
bargain.
Yeah, but you know it is. Go on. Sorry.
This is the guy. You know what? We're gonna talk about Portugal at a point, innit? Yeah, right. You see, because this... I'm going to do what you're doing, Beanos. I'm going to be real. Because you... Margs don't do this and Loons don't do this. Big up Hackney. I almost gave up on them. I almost came to the marshes and said, nah, put beer hockey goals here. This ain't a football team. But Beanos, you saved it still. Before quite recently, wouldn't say corners scoring from corners was rare, but it wasn't as... The way you see crowds get nervous when corners are given away now, this is new.
Gun, you know what I'll say? Mm. It was a chance to score a goal, but it wasn't highly successful.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Arsenal bring it and it was working. And then Bruno bring it, then it was working. Then it was crap again because Arsenal wasn't doing it. One sec. So then it's like, then they bring it into the set pieces, a dead ball from set pieces.
The only thing I don't understand about the whole... Do you know what it is? I feel like we're just buying into what like the kids are saying. Called David Beckham, Janino. Yes. Any set piece taker back in the day was like a god. You understand? You didn't even care about anything else they could do. You understand? You just knew dead balls. Who's my man from Newcastle? Left foot. Laurent Robert. Man don't even know about the rest of his game. Man just know if he gets free grass in front of him and he strikes with that left foot, it's done.
Bro, if they was calling for Ward-Prowse to be in the England squad, because my man is a dead...
He was a dead piece. He was the best in the world at a point.
Best in the world.
Not specialist.
You don't think so?
No.
I think at a point he was the best in the world.
At one stage,
he was. Even if it was just for a season or two. He got a free kick, yeah? I remember there was one against you lot. I was watching it with my brethrens, and it was from far. Man, there's no way he's got mid-sentence, lash. Because he knew that was his thing.
Yeah, there's people like, you see what it is? Do we look at corners nowadays, and say, I think personally, defending was more robust before.
100%.
But now there's uproar. they say Arsenal's too aggressive attacking corners.
Yeah.
When defenders was putting pressure on players and dragging them left, right, and centre.
Pre-VAR. Elbows, yeah, all of that, all of everything, yeah.
Muay Thai.
Everything.
Now all of a
UFC,
sudden.
UFC.
Yeah.
Jiu-jitsu.
Jiu-jitsu, kickboxing. We've seen it all, especially in the Prem.
And now
we've seen things.
There's uproar.
Yeah.
So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it? So, you know, understandably, for me personally, if it wasn't working for your team, I hear it. But we got Declan Rice on, and it's clicking. And you got Bruno Fernandes.
I'm outnumbered today, yeah.
No, you got
by
Bruno.
Far. But like I always say with every statement, yeah,
mm-hmm.
nothing's a problem, or like you can have a bad season as long as you don't play for Man United or Arsenal.
Yeah.
See, when Man United and Arsenal started capitalising off the corners, the dead balls, it now become a bigger thing because these two are doing it. But like I say, like back to England, bro, I do not care if Declan Rice and Bukayo Saka and Madueke get 5 assists each.
It's all about this.
I'm with England.
You
get me?
We are.
How do you think it would feel if we actually did do it?
I'll be real, man. It'll be amazing. I'll be real.
Because
it would be.
It's a situation where, like, I'd love to see it in my lifetime.
Yeah.
I don't know about everybody else, but I love football so much that if I could see England win a World Cup in my lifetime,
I
think it brings the country back together as well. And I think it brings us all together.
Yeah, definitely, man. Think about kids. Kids will be, it will be major for them, man.
Insanity.
Getting to watch Jude Bellingham and all these, man, lift that trophy and watch them for the rest of their career. That's what Brazilian kids got to do, French kids. Yep. And as a result of that, look at how football's been in that country.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But obviously the boys are out there. KG and Poet sat down with Rio and the rest of the Rio Presents boys about England's chances at the World Cup. And you can check that out on Extra Filthy. KG looking like the biggest person on them sofas by far. So thank God that's not a corner. You can't mark them, man, dead. I'm telling you. Mixing things up. With the England squad, team selection. Do you think we need to do that? Obviously, Croatia for me, before I even say this, Croatia was probably the hardest opponent in the group, if we're being honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got past them with what I think wasn't necessarily the first choice team.
I think that was a brave selection.
100%, especially for Croatia.
That, what you're saying is,
yeah.
If you look at it now, I'm saying to myself, when I saw the lineup, I was like, I'm not too sure whether this is what I would have gone with because I wouldn't have. But he done it and it worked.
Yeah.
So can I be mad? No.
Not at all, yeah.
But selection for the next game, what would you change?
Do you know what it is? I think, even though I thought it was maybe a bit risky to like start the nonnies, Gordon and not a Rashford, Ezri, Konsa and Stones.
Can I just tell you one thing though?
Yeah.
Do you know why it's not a risk? Because it's the first game. So if anything goes wrong,
he
knows in the next two games, buck up these ideas, lock up the shop.
All right, but is that not the hardest game in the group?
It is but on paper. The fact you know, what I was going to say is, I think he went for specific profiles. So he's looked at the Croatian fullbacks for one. Mm. He said, yeah, Nonny could get on that one. Mm. Anthony Gordon can get on the other one. You understand? No problem. He's probably looked at their nine. Can't even remember who it was, but he's probably for Ezri and Stones. We're going to have the ball, innit? We're going to have the ball. It's going to be about controlling possession and getting away. Because although Croatia are a really good side, their better players are aging. That's not a secret.
They are.
I feel like they're a really good old side. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like they're good no more.
They're not
and
good anymore.
The reason why they only got them goals is because I feel like England don't know how to get over their bogey teams that's beat them before, innit? So I feel like if you've won against England in a big game, they hold something
100%,
over you. 100%. So, but I don't feel like that Croatia team, it was the hardest game in the group, but going into that game, I didn't feel like, oh, we might not win this. With the starting lineup, it raised the antennas a bit, but you know, but I thought, like, I told man, like, I feel like Madueke is going to have a good World Cup.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I wasn't really too mad with the starting lineup. I would have only changed one person in that starting lineup.
Is that Ezri?
No.
Anthony Gordon.
Yeah. Yeah, Anthony Gordon.
I think if Rashford starts that game, it's a rout. Like,
it's a riz up.
6-5-1 or one of them kind of thing.
The interesting thing that I didn't like about the game was I didn't like the way how we was trying to play out from the back. So I know they was trying to split and let Ellie come into the space. But then they're playing a triangle. And there was one point, remember when I was talking to you about it one day, and I was like, why didn't they just open up and come out the far-hand side? And in my head, I'm thinking, I don't like them playing. The triangle is cool. But in those areas, and Croatia had a half-decent press on, and in the first half, they kept sort of boxing us in and catching us out a little bit. But realistically, I thought it was a good performance overall. But yeah, man, I think moving forward, I think Rashi starts over Anthony Gordon for me.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen a change in... I said to you, I'll drop Bellingham back, take off Elliot Anderson, or I'd take off Rice, give one of them a rest, drop Jude in, because he seemed like he had a motor on him that day and he had legs. Yeah. And then I would have let Eze gone. And hopefully I would have let him play in the pocket and free up the game a bit more.
That
as
might
well.
Happen.
But they done it anyway. They'd got the job done for.
I think they'll obviously see Ghana and Panama. They see them as winnable games. And they'll probably... I think Tuchel will use this group stage to experiment a bit. Mm. You understand? Mm. Because let's have it right. Croatia's like the dress rehearsal for a better team down the line. And Ghana and Panama will be games to kind of experiment and see who can do what. So Jed Spence sent right back maybe. Do you know what it is? He's probably gone into this tournament saying, Ezri, John, you'll start the first game. You know them way there. Yeah. Jed, whoever, you'll start the second one. Maybe the same with the third because it's going to be Panama.
I feel like he's got his team without no injuries for every single game.
100%.
And then he's going to work it out in the knockout rounds, but after them three games, they're going to have a couple of days break Jed and Spence he can work it out what he does.
I think Jed Spence gets a run and the reason why is because if you look at Reece, Reece's technical ability is off out of it.
Yeah.
We can't knock him for his technical ability, but can he last the tournament?
Nah.
That's why I was a little bit like, you've moved him into centre midfield to play the holding role. And put Jed out there, but I'm like, maybe take him off.
Yeah, let him rest, man. Let him rest a bit. I think Jed Spence is quite underrated, man.
Who, Jed Spence?
Jed Spence, yeah. I think how Tottenham have done, obviously, hasn't made him look great, but that's an efficient fullback. Going forward and backwards, both sides.
What?
You understand? He's comfy on the ball. He's stronger than most, faster than most.
Almost bagged.
There you go,
Let
bro.
Me ask you a
He's
question
good,
then.
Man.
Earlier on in the season, is that when he was dropping the memes with them on the lead? Yeah. Mm. Do you feel like he like jumped the gun?
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
He should have been a bit humble.
He was humble.
He would have been a bit more humble. Because I feel like that's when Tottenham fell off, that was the easy way to attack Jed Spence.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you was doing that earlier in the season.
You don't do that.
Do you know what
I'm saying? What he was doing, you don't do.
But you say you don't do that, but with today's game, a lot of it's to do with social media. Like, there's banter running.
No, 100.
Before, back in the day, like, if they did have social media, do you think after a game or on a picture, you'll see all the players comments and
like,
whatnot?
Lingard, after he scored against my man at the Emirates.
Oh, yeah.
He posted
the picture. I fully remember
He put
that.
The location, dance floor. You understand? So, but things like that, you've just won a game. You're in a decent period. There was no way you lot were going to finish 17th. So at your worst, you would have got a 6th or 7th. And that moment would still be funny. If you got a welcome to the Jed Spence penitentiary and then you end up in a relegation. But put it this way, imagine a West Ham player said that. Imagine Wan-Bissaka said, yeah, man, welcome to the Wan-Bissaka penitentiary. 18th place. That's only a place below them boy there, you know? Yeah. And I think I think Wan-Bissaka's got more of a penitentiary. That's a real penitentiary. He locks man up properly.
Wan-Bissaka is the block.
Yeah,
when he's locking you down.
Yeah, that's the block. 100%.
You know what though? I ain't mad at Banner. I think it's all part of the game in this day and age. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, and players having a bit of banter online, why are you so mad about it?
It's not mad. I just think you've like, got to have...
That should spare other players on to know they got to get a get back in the season.
You've got to have hindsight. Like, obviously, you don't have hindsight when you're doing things, innit? But I just think, bro, you got to just read the room.
Yeah,
man.
But sometimes you live in the moment.
I hear it.
And the play, remember, yeah, the players Jed Spence was locking down. It's not like
they
he's
were good
saying,
players,
like
yeah.
he's locking down players in form.
Yeah.
Like Rio's hyping him up. Do you know what I'm saying? And Rio's got him on the episode. Like, bro,
you know what? England go win the World Cup, then Jed Spence Penitentiary is back in business, open, bro. Man can't chuck to him.
Bare man
in the parade, just in a chin strap, just wearing it. Like, yeah, I'm dull. No, I hear it still.
Chin strapped up. You see Saka. Saka needs a fast winger that now allows the player to be drawn around the outside and then it gives him space to chop inside. That's exactly
And Nonny's the opposite. If you want to overlap Nonny, you need to get in a car.
Yeah,
he's
Reece won. Reece won't
no,
doing that.
What it is, if you've got a Jed Spence and a Nonny, they're both stretching the same way. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? Saka wants to go inside,
so he wants Jed Spence going around him to stretch the winger, and then he comes inside.
If you look at like Nonny, the whole first half, yeah, obviously Reece James tucks in to a certain extent, yeah, and shuffles in because he has the ability to get on the ball there and then make something else happen. But that's what was creating so much space because Nonny was touchline.
Yeah, yeah.
And when he was in there, just a bit more composure.
Yeah, yeah. He's a player that you don't, like you said it, Beanos, you don't want him to have time.
No time.
Obviously, because he's so quick, a lot of the time he will get it. But you need a guy right on his shoulder, making him sharp, turning it, because that's when he's at his best.
Let's be honest. If he knew how to work with time, with that pace, you'll be a top boy.
100%. Like,
and that's what makes you... Yeah. A good footballer to a top boy with all that speed, innit?
But like, I'll be honest, the kid's rapid. No, you know how hard it is sometimes to adjust your footwork when you're moving at this high intensity.
That's
speed.
Why he
unless you're me.
Because there are players...
Excuse me?
Unless you're me.
No, because you see me, I'm in the Beanos realm. My change of pace was disgusting. Bro. It weren't about how fast I was. It's the fact that I'll go... Dup, 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 dup. You understand? Nonny has to learn that. You understand? Because I see Henri said it, that... He said when he first got to Clairefontaine in France, he's faster than everyone, scoring all the goals. Yeah. He said when they're in possession sessions now, there's no goals. He's looking like the worst player. We got to play two touch, you get five passes for a goal. He's saying, what do you mean? I want to knock it past three men. Yep. So, but when you are fast and you learn to slow down, I remember it happened to Walcott, Martial was like a master of it. A man that could draw the man in, slow, slow, slow. As soon as I see that little gap of space, gone. Then I go. And Nonny, a Martinelli, there's not a lot of wingers like this at top teams, but Nonny and Martinelli, because I watch them week in, week out, sometimes they get a bit impatient. They'll do the sidestep, and they're like, I don't even care if you're not showing me space. I'm just going to push it. Mm. And in this day and age, you saw it with, I'm sure we'll go on to speak about it, Cap Verde, Uruguay yesterday. You kind of can't run past people no more. Everyone's quite mobile. Mm-hmm. Like the slowest player will keep up with you for 10, 15 yards. Mm-hmm. So that whole kick and run stuff, you're not going to come across a flipping...
I don't think it's there.
Like you have to earn that moment.
Your first touch needs to be...
Yeah, it has to be eliminated.
Let me explain something to you. The kick and run is still there, but it's only available to you if you know how to think.
It depends
pick up yourself in a pocket to be able to turn. We go back to England quickly. Now, Nonny kept finding himself at wide touchline, chalk on the boots, with so much space. And when he was getting it, he was getting, knocking it and going, but no composure. Someone pull his handbrake up, we're good money.
Yeah, 100%. You know what it is, I've got to pick up my dog and he's on a podcast called Touchline Frackers. It's actually the first football podcast I made an appearance on, so big up the Touchline boys. Mm-hmm. But he said, this is not about the England match, but I think it's relevant to football today. I think it was who did Congo play? Was it Portugal?
Yeah.
It was Portugal, innit? Yeah, it's the Portugal-Congo game. He said, man are trying to kick and run past Congolese man.
Impossible.
He's saying he in year seven, he realized that that is not available.
Let me explain something.
Have you ever been chased by a Congolese man?
Let me explain something to you. Let me explain. This is pain here. Do you understand? You see, you know, I play football with many different environments.
Yeah.
There's certain times I've gone onto the pitch and I'm looking at this fullback and I know he's Congolese, Ghanaian, Nigerian.
Yeah.
It's going to
It's not
be,
easy.
If I'm playing wide forward this game, this is a long day.
It's a composure game.
It's a long day. He's going to put his armpit in
all,
my face.
Yeah, all of that.
He's gonna,
I
ain't even got the ball. Man's here.
Yeah, all of that.
But do you know what it is?
Breathing heavy on me.
But see?
No deodorant on.
See with that though. I feel like they're the knock and run situations. You drop.
No, it's not. Okay. Because he's going to clatter you.
You can't knock and run. Like, you see me, Beanos, do you know what the difference is between, do you know why Beanos is talking like that? Because you had the size a lot with the pace. I didn't have that. I got to year nine. Guys that I'm three times faster than, all they need to do is do this. Step in front of man. My pace is ineligible.
No. See, you are knocking
You know
it
them
right.
way there.
You are knocking the ball right. But what I'll say
but
is
you
this. Can't,
but if you're playing against, because this is, you see, I see it with me on the weekend, yeah?
Mm.
Bro, I'm 34 now. Majority of wingers, they're flying past. Like, I'm screaming at him. How are you letting him run past you like that? See, when he run past me, I'm like, I hear it. I understand. To give him a couple yards, like so. But with me, at the same time, from I've clocked, he wants to kick and run. I will govern myself to not allow that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But like you said, you see when a man kicks it past you, right? Oh my God, you have to foul him. You have to foul him. What do you mean? Them finesse touch, you spin on it, and they are now.
Them. Look, let me tell you something. I'm in pain. 6 knee ops because of this reason. Them fullbacks, the Ghanaian.
Yeah, it's not a joke.
The Congolese brothers. Yeah. Man said, yeah, I used to play for Montpellier. He's got the kit on.
Man's pulling up in the 03 Montpellier tracksuit in 015.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, nah, it's real.
It's crazy. I see man come training. He's got the Montpellier.
Montpellier is dark.
He's got
it's mad distinctive. You don't even need to see the badge. Man, just see the colours. Raw.
Bad in training, but can run like crazy and will clamp you. It's tough. It's a bad day when you look up and see a man like that playing fullback, man.
Declan Rice, boys, does he rest?
No.
Declan Rice has a neural hamstring tension. A lot of people got presents for Christmas. He got a neural hamstring tension issue for Christmas, and that refers to tightness or discomfort in the hamstrings that may actually be caused by increased tension in the sciatic nerve rather than muscle tightness. So basically, in simple terms, he's mash.
I'll be honest, like I've had a little bit of sciatica in my time.
It's not a joke.
And
it's not a joke.
I'll be honest with you, like I don't really agree with like players playing with injections and those type of things, because in the long run, I know some of my mates who have, like, you might know a few of them, like take for instance Ryan Smith.
Yeah.
Had bad knees, a lot of injections in there.
It just takes away from the end of your career.
It's like, like myself, like I've had a few injections and you're just playing with pain. Do you know what I mean? In the long run, when that injection wears off,
cool.
The damage in the knee is...
Football manager, man, you ever tried to give a player injection and play him? Brother, one time I was down to my bare bones, like everyone's injured. I think it was Monreal. I've given him the injection. My man's come to the office and just said, pussy, why did you do this? I'm mashed. Yeah, he's complained instant. He's saying, I have to play, I get it, but why would you do this? Bro, do you know what it is? You see the injection thing? The way I see the injection, it's almost like you're taking fitness from the future and putting it in my knee now. You're not thinking about two weeks down the line.
Do you know what it is? I've had it 3 times, yeah. I've had a steroid injection. But see what it does in the spur of the moment and you want to play football.
Yeah.
Bro, it's like there's nothing better, bro, than that injection.
To touch on that, yeah, let me explain something to you. You see me, anytime I took that injection and I felt good to play, I was lit.
Mm.
But knowing the repercussions of what the injections do, would I have done it again? Yes.
I hear it, yes. Though, man.
I want to play the game.
Because I see we're talking about Declan here. Declan is that kind of player.
He's that type
of guy. You ask him, are you fine? His ankle's hanging off by a thread, arm twist, one eyeball out. He's going to say yes.
Yes.
Pardon me, the court. Yeah. Arm ban.
Aye, aye.
Aye, aye, captain. Do you understand? Fully, like, he's that kind of player. And those kind of players are the players that make you win.
Exactly.
But I want to let man know, because remember you said the kind of fullbacks that it is, Ghanaian. He's playing Ghanaians. I don't know who that Owusu brother is, number six for us. His tackles aren't ball winning, it's knee winning.
Oh yeah, but
it's knee winning tackles.
If you don't play Declan Rice here, who do you play there instead?
I like Woodsy's idea. Drop Bellingham. No. Let him do the combative thing a little bit. This is Ghana, bro.
Okay,
you know,
okay.
I'm Ghanaian. I'm rubbing out my own people.
But if you're gonna do that, yeah, you're gonna want to put someone in there who can hold the ball. You want to put Kobe in there so we can keep possession.
You want to put Kobe in there so we can play against his own
bro,
cousins.
Bro, I told
her, that's a Ghanaian man. He ain't them shoulder bars. They don't affect him like that. He's saying, brother, bro, I'm the same fufu.
I don't. Do you know what it is? I'll be honest, personally. Declan Rice, you ain't taking no break. Nah. I'll be real.
You can't rest a man against Panama and Ghana. What are we doing here? Because you see, after this, it's no days
okay,
off.
But then if we go home, then what?
Why we're not gonna go home?
But what do you mean? You've seen teams surprise
Broski,
teams.
We're playing a team that had 37% against possession against Panama. They're gonna have about 9%.
Yep, but
they've got Brandon Thomas Asante and Semenyo, who's eligible to play for England. But Jordan Ayew. Yeah, brother, come
Jordan
on.
Ayew,
Jordan Ayew is finished. This condition can lead to symptoms like pain or strain sensations along the nerve pathway, often mistaken for hamstring issues. Obviously, Arsenal, we've recently sacked our club doctor.
Dr. Strange.
And this injury was diagnosed at the England camp. So it could be a thing where Declan has played since Christmas with an incorrect diagnosis. He's doing, I don't know, rehabilitation or taking whatever medicine for something that he wasn't necessarily even suffering from.
But would they be linked though?
I doubt they'll be too far away from each other, but I'm guessing these high level athletes, if they have a specific injury, they need to do specific things for it.
Okay.
So if they're told they don't have that injury, then they go and do recovery that's specific for something else. They might be putting too much strain on what's hurt.
Bruv,
you understand?
I got told I got bursars in my knees and my bursars in my knees get inflamed. A little while later, go and got a scan.
They said, no, it's not.
No, bare floating bodies, broken bone in the knee, torn cartilage, the last
man,
little
a man's
bit.
Patella come was floating.
A man's patella.
A man's patella was just free roam. And they're telling him, nah.
Nah.
But you know what it is? At the end of the day, just like the NHS, when you go to your GP, how many times you been to your GP? This is wrong with you. They give you whatever rare tear. You go back and they're like, oh, you know what? Actually, it was this, you know. Like,
try this one.
I thought my ankle was swell up these times. Man's knees mashed. Yeah, man's got gout. Man's got sciatica in man's shoulder. Like, new sciatica, you know, where you come, I can't even get it. But yeah, crowd, what do you think tonight's score is going to be? Let's be kind. I know KG's not here to do the Nigerian hate thing, but KG wants it to be about 10-0, man. And that's why all your outfits in America are sh**. Big up. KG! America appears to have fallen in love with England, with both police and FIFA officials left stunned by the hometown support. Obviously, if you want to see that, you could go over to Extra Filthy. The Extra Filthy video is coming on with Steve-O and Wicko were in Dallas for the Croatia game and kept getting swarmed by Americans.
Big up the mandem.
Big up the mandem.
Yeah, big them up, man.
Red cards galore. We mentioned it on a previous episode that this World Cup is well en route to breaking that World Cup record. Who was it the other day?
Almiron.
Yes, Paraguay. Miguel Almiron, the first victim of what we spoke about just before the World Cup started. He was sent off for covering his mouth. It's a first at the World Cup as the Paraguayan was dismissed under the new rule introduced earlier this year. Let me just say something. I don't even, you know, I think he's stupid. I doubt he said anything racist.
When you say whatever you're saying, mm-hmm. do the right thing.
I doubt he said anything racist. It was more of a Turkish surprise for Turkey than a Turkish delight.
But my cry is this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't rate it. If you know you're not meant to do it, why are you doing it?
Because this is my thing. I doubt he said anything that he needed to even do this
but
for.
But listen, I think he forgot.
But that's the issue.
Because you're so used to doing it. So, you know what it is? And I feel like the player who got spoken to like this, yeah? Didn't you see his reaction? He ran to the ref.
He's like, look, he did that.
Because they know how to govern. If I know I can catch you out and fugazi you, why are you doing it for?
Do you know what's the mad thing about Almiron? Like, he looks like a Naruto kind of One Piece hero to me. Heroes don't do this, Almiron. Like, Almiron, I remember when we was linked with Almiron, you know, time ago from, I think it was like Atlanta United or some fried team in the MLS. We wanted him for, and I wanted to you. He went Newcastle, he looked decent. Don't do this, Almiron.
All right, let me ask, do you think that's bad sportsmanship? Because the player knows he never said nothing bad to him.
100%.
And then he's done
But you don't, again, like I say, in other situations, about to incriminate myself, do not give people the opportunity to nick you. Yeah? Don't even let it. You see, if I'm just doing this, because you see, the sickest thing is, because remember, the whole rule is you're allowed to do this when you're talking normal. I've seen when players are walking off and they're just going like this
to
their
own teammate.
Exactly.
In this tournament, it's with your own teammate.
Yes.
Yeah, with opposition fans. And I'll be honest, they was playing Turkey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Turkey ain't won a game.
They had to do it.
Yeah.
They were gonna do all they could to get a man out of here. But they didn't. Paraguay came away with the 3 points despite Almiron's sending off just before halftime, and they're out. They had 79% possession, 32 shots to Paraguay's 7. 5 of them were on target to Paraguay's 2. And Paraguay scored in the second
smash
minute.
Smash and grab.
Yeah, so they played 90 plus minutes in the lead. Half the game, 10 men.
Like, for me, it's a bit crazy because they got Shanoglu, Arda Güler.
Do you know what it is? I feel like Turkey, because they've had an influx of like foreign players in their league recently. Like back in the day, early 2000s, mid 2000s, the best Turkish players in the Turkish league are Turkish. Then they go over to Spain, England, mm-hmm. it translates. They go to a national tournament, they go there, they all got high ranking players, they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know they got Yildiz at Juve, Arda Güler at Real Madrid, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's the better players in the Turkish league. They're from all over the world now, which is good for Turkish football.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the national side are suffering a bit. I couldn't name you a Turkish defender. I know they got the Brighton fullback. I'm not sure who their centre-backs are. I remember they had my man that used to play in the German league.
Ain't they got one of them that used to play for Leicester?
Oh, my days. Yes. What's his name?
Siongchi. I don't know his name.
Siongchu.
Oh, Siongchu. Yeah,
where's he now?
He was at Leicester.
He was at Leicester. Then he got a big move to Atletico, I think.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah, he got a little...
My, he's got a strong jawline. And, yeah, Lord Farquaad, tall version. Caracal. Obviously, they got a member from my draft team in there, Bakuna, the younger Bakuna brother, and he's playing up front in this game. So I've seen he's literally on his transfer market, it says he's played every position apart from left back, I think. Literally every
Him
single
and his
one.
Brother are very versatile.
Yeah, very, very versatile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
What, every attacking position?
Everywhere. He's played everywhere but left back, literally.
Wow.
He's very, very versatile. But Curacao, Davidson's at the tournament, picked up their first point against Ecuador, who are having a very weird tournament. Ecuador kind of one of the teams that you don't think they're going to win it or it, but you expect a little something from them.
You expect them to get through.
Yeah, at least.
You expect them to get through.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the story of the underdog.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we love an underdog story. So, you know, they got Bakuna Brothers, Chongi.
TFG. Yeah.
Do you understand? It's not like they've got...
Let's have it right. Curacao is one of them countries, probably like you lot, who've had to watch their best players play for other countries all over the world.
Because
I think everyone in their team, apart from Tahith Chong, is born in Holland. Tahith Chong's the only Curacao-born player. And even him, I'm sure...
He was born there?
Yeah, he's born there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm sure if he could play for Holland, he'd probably play for Holland.
Most of their players playing the Dutch League One.
There you go.
And the top league. Like, even when we played them, Patrick Kluivert was the manager.
Yeah, see, there you go.
He started bringing in all the influx of players. And, like, I'm not mad at it.
If you
can't make the Dutch national team.
Yeah, go play for your island.
Go
play for your island, man.
100%. And look, they're in the World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
They might have never experienced that otherwise, so big them up, man.
Big him up, man. Eloy Room makes history with 15 saves in 90 minutes, equaling Tim Howard against Belgium in 2014. Eloy Room has amassed over 1 million followers on Instagram since the start of the competition. Curacao has just over 150,000 inhabitants. It is one of the smaller islands, most definitely. So this is good, man. Like you said, Woodsy, man, in the beginning, I wasn't loving the 48-team tournament. Like, the thing only goes up to Group H. I'm seeing Group L. I'm like, what the hell?
I don't even know the letters that
it goes from H. I don't even know the letters after H. Like, off the top of my mind, I had to go A, B, C, D, E. I only know groups A to H. Like, so the fact that it's L now, it's a bit, but like you said, man, we're seeing underdog stories. You're seeing good players, man.
Good players.
For me, when I was younger, obviously we're older now, you go into tournaments knowing most players. When I was younger, not knowing about a Senegal player, this player, that's what I loved about the World Cup. I got to come away from there knowing about new players, the pace, the power. It's exciting, man.
A little bit more knowledgeable. Do you get what I'm
saying?
And like, it's super dope because certain times it's like, you know, you see certain teams that's in the tournament right now and you're like, rah, I didn't even know they had ballers over there.
I didn't even know
like them man could kick ball.
Are they ballers though or?
They're in the World Cup. What do you mean they're ballers?
The team that I'm about to talk about are ballers. I knew they had ballers because one of my good friends has family from there. A lot of players from this country play for Portugal. You understand? Namely, one of the more famous ones, Nani.
It's
from Cape Verde. Yeah,
okay.
It's from an island called Cape Verde. And they are balling out. They played Spain.
Yes.
In their opening fixture, their first World Cup fixture, which is next to Portugal, and they got a point, which was massive. Their keeper as well.
He took the Wakanda Forever juice.
You understand? They're not messing around. And then obviously, more recently, they played against Uruguay, Spain, Uruguay, two World Cup winners, two teams with top players all over Europe, all over the world.
Both
winning
have won
champions.
The World Cup.
There you go. Cape Verde, this was not a 0-0 ball draw. Uruguay went for them. Cape Verde went up 1-0. Lovely free kick. Their first World Cup goal ever. By halftime, it was 2-1 to Uruguay. They fought back 2-2. Now they need 3 points against Saudi Arabia to get through, which is looking quite likely. This is the underdog.
You know what it is, yeah? See Cape Verde, yeah? I see them against Spain, yeah? And I call them Camp Verde, yeah? Because I feel like they've done their job, innit? On paper, it's a Spain win. They nicked the draw.
Yeah.
But see, against Uruguay, I had to rename him. They were like attacking Verde because they were going
for that game.
They were going to, I think it was like maybe 7-8 minutes stoppage time. They were playing to the final whistle. Like, what their story is probably going to be the dopest of the World Cup. 100%. Do you know what I'm saying? 100%. It's probably not, obviously, clearly the winners are the winners, innit? But after the winners,
you'll see maybe even some of them in the Prem. You definitely see them in the French league.
Championship, maybe.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. I think. Hold on.
Nah, you're saying that.
No. Let's just.
But have you seen these youths play, though?
I hear what you're saying, but listen to what I'm saying to you right now, yeah? You see, in a situation that we're talking about here at the World Cup, the world's biggest stage, the adrenaline, the lights, the camera, the action will give you an extra 120%. When you're in that stadium, you're at the World Cup, you're running and you don't even know why you're running. So if we look at it though, a little bit extra quality in the game the other day, a little bit more finesse, they potentially nick it against Uruguay. I believe they qualify and go into the knockout stages naturally. But yeah, shout out to them, man. It's big business. But to some of the players get into the Prem.
Do you know the only reason I'm saying that?
That's a big jump, though.
It is a big jump, but the price of players today, yeah? If you could go get a Cap Verde Danger, man.
Oh, what are you saying? Just a gamble, a gamble.
Yeah, bruv. What? Just impact player.
Yeah, because this is my thing, yeah? Some of them are rapid. I watched that game yesterday, yeah? Their number 10 is named Sutton Montero. Yeah. Brother, he is not a joke.
He's not a joke. Man,
there was the first 10 minutes, they blitzed them, bro. Man, I'm seeing the fullbacks all running back to goal. Christ, the man created the attack, and that's what got them the free kick for them to score.
Do you know what it is I feel like with them, yeah? Mm. It's like they're a team defending. And you see when they go forward, it's like they just see like their names in the lights, innit?
Yeah,
and I feel like if they played with a bit more composure yesterday, they might have been able to nick that game there.
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying? But it's like, I would have probably done it. I would have probably took one of them wild shots. You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to lie. It's the World Cup. I see a man in the last five, like, I think it was like 95 minutes into the game. Free kick. The players are flooding the forehand side of the box. My man just slapped it. Like it was a quick free kick.
Yeah, I see it. It hit the wall, didn't it? It hit the wall. Yeah, I saw it.
I'm saying,
no, you're right. If they approach games accepting that. So this Saudi game will be interesting because I think they'll go into this game knowing that they're the stronger team and actually playing to look a certain way.
That could backfire against them, though.
You don't think, you reckon?
Because they're so used to being the underdog. So now you need to lead the charge. You're now going to be countered.
I'll be honest. I don't think it goes like that. I think that them players play like that regardless. I don't think they might give Saudi a 3-0.
No, I think they're going to move
because them Cape Verde players are here playing for something totally different.
Let's have it right as well. Saudi are not complete idiots. They beat Argentina and when they won the World Cup. Yeah, so Saudi drew with Uruguay, who Cape Verde drew with. You understand? Obviously, they got moved to by Spain, but this was off the back of Spain having a frustrating game against Cape Verde. So they've landed against Saudi knowing they're not going to make the same mistakes. You understand? So, yeah, Cape Verde ain't lost. 2 points out of a possible 6, but it's the fact that 3 points guarantees them qualification, and a point could be enough if Spain beat Uruguay. So the way their celebrations after that point the other day, it made sense. They put themselves in a good position, man.
But do you know what it is? See, even in that game, yeah, I feel like they feel confident going into the game against Saudi because they wasn't, in the later end of that game, they wasn't defending. I felt like they were trying to go for it.
Yeah, they were 100%
like,
going for it.
And you don't do that in a game where you say, oh, I need a point.
Yeah,
do you know what I'm saying?
100%.
Like, you're not that 100%. Advanced because when Uruguay did have the ball and it was attacking, they were camped back in. And then they were just breaking forward in
first 10 minutes. I thought Cap Verde would have done
that. Let me explain something to you. I hear what you're saying, but they don't have to live by them rules. They are at the World Cup. You defend, and when they go to attack, they attack. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
But if they lost that game, that would have cooked them.
It doesn't matter.
And they were so confident they weren't going to lose that they just went
for it. They have no option but to go for it.
You don't think so?
I don't think they were going off that. I feel like they were saying, if we can nick this Uruguay game, we could go have a jolly up against Saudi. Like, do you understand what I'm saying? We nick this now. There's no job to do against Saudi.
I don't even
4 points qualifies.
I don't look.
I hear it.
Playing in those type of games, yeah. There's no thought process behind that. There's a thought process behind instructions and tactics and whatnot. But what I'm saying is to you, me, when I've been in a stadium, all these people around, yeah, and I know we're playing against a team that is on paper better than us, yeah. When we get in that group huddle with the lads, whatever the gaffer said, we're going to set up like that. But amongst ourselves, we're saying to ourselves, we don't care about nothing. Man, give these youths a game regardless. Mm. We're here, yeah? We work for each other. We play for each other and we get the job done. That's it. And I believe that's where Cape Verde is at. And that's why they're getting results. And I believe that they go into the game against Saudi and they do the job.
Listen, Cape Verde, out of the 84 teams that have ever qualified for the World Cup, they are now the 65th best performing team at the time of recording.
Ain't that with Ghana?
No, that's the ranking. This is their first time in the World Cup. This is the first time in the World Cup. They got there fresh off the plane. They had to play Spain and then
held them, then
a Uruguay team. And for 65th at the time of recording, if they beat Saudi and go through, they're going to jump up in that thing. I'm telling you. Listen, the most impressive first-timers, Northern Ireland and Wales, quite recently in 1958, qualified. Yeah?
That's a quite
recently. In 1958, hey. Our granddads will remember that one.
Yeah.
Listen to that on the radio, of course. Denmark in 1986 got through. Costa Rica got through in 1990. The green teams, Nigeria and Saudi Arabia, got through in 1994. My cousins, Asamoah Gyan and
everybody.
Them, obviously, in 2006. First timers that won a game in the knockouts. Ireland in 1990.
Was Clinton Morrison there?
I don't even think he was in Ireland yet. Them man there was playing. If you ask Clinton Morrison in 1990, who you going to play for? You would have said England.
England.
What do you mean? But yeah, Ireland in 1990, not sure who was playing for them then. Senegal 2002, I remember this team. Diop and Diop and all of them beat France in the group stages. Ukraine in 2006, I cannot remember them.
Rev Roff and them
but
man.
But big up them man there.
Reprobate 06.
But the best are the best of the best. First timers. I know England won the World Cup in 1966, but Portugal finished third place in their very first World Cup. Was that a Eusebio thing? That was a Eusebio thing.
Eusebio's numbers are insane.
Insane. That was a Eusebio thing. And they didn't even trust black man. That's when they started to trust black man. Yeah? And K-Dot, you remember this? Because they did it to us. Jamaica, 1998. Yeah, Croatia moved to us in what I thought was a knockout game. But it was definitely group stages. I was only 7 in that World Cup. You understand? I remember my whole family watching that in my granddad's yard. And then my auntie's girlfriend said, I'm from Croatia. And we wanted to kick her out.
Did you kick her out?
No, she looked good. She looked good. I know that. Yeah, she looked all right. I was 7 and okay. I could see. I had vision.
Yeah, vision.
As a youth. She big up auntie, wherever she there. But yeah, Croatia, Davor Suka and all of them, man there. Serious team. Maybe third place might be a bit of a stretch. Yeah, Eusebio and Suka and them, man, they went crazy. But do we think Cape Verde can win a game in the knockout? First of all, let's crawl before we walk. Do you think they're going to qualify?
Yes.
I think they'll qualify.
Yeah?
Do I think they'll win a game in the knockout phase? I feel like them qualifying their first knockout game, that's their final.
They have to win that game. The way they're going to play is different.
That's their final.
Let me explain something to you. This is going to be the greatest thing that people are going to see. If they qualify, yeah, which I believe they firmly do.
Yeah, 100%.
When they qualify, yeah, depending on who they get, because remember, there's going to be a couple other shaky teams that qualify.
It's gonna be some
bookie teams, might go their way.
Yeah.
And on their day, I'm backing the underdogs.
I'll be honest, they've shown they know how to play as underdogs. Against, if we're being honest, Spain are amongst the best of the best. And for you to play them with no prior history of that pressure and not concede a goal, that's not a joke.
One of the favourites in the World Cup.
Do you know what it is? Even like, even if you said like they went and they drew 1-1, even though they scored, yeah, cool, but like, but you lot kept a clean sheet.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
It's not a joke.
If there's no fluke behind a clean sheet, innit? We all worked hard together. Do you know what I'm saying? So
you keep a clean sheet, you can potentially win a game.
There you, especially there you in go. These
yeah, lock up shop.
Yeah.
And you got
and
a
they
chance.
They can do it. They Anytime. Know how to do it, man. The Netherlands, or as I'm calling them, Holland from now on. And because I call them Holland, they absolutely obliterated my brethren, Victor Gyökeres, and a guy that used to be my brethren, Alexander Isak, who looked really good in that game, to be fair. 5-1, Brian Brobby, my Ghanaian cousin, he's not messing around.
He's not playing a bad man.
I can't remember who it was that said it, but there was a coach, an Ajax coach, I think, who said, Brian Brobby does not understand the fundamentals of playing up front.
He looks like that sometimes.
Brother, but since then, I'm sure double-digit league goals for newly promoted Sunderland.
Yeah.
A serious threat when they played against anyone, especially the big teams. A World Cup brace. He looks good, man.
He's robust, isn't it?
He don't play... Like, you see, as a striker, you have to be used to playing against centre-backs that are stronger than you. With this man, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
He is coming across... Man, that he could just move
to.
Listen, he is not a joke.
He's
bro.
Brolic.
He's brolic.
You know what it is with him though, yeah? He's got the hold up play to a T, yeah? And he can run in behind as well.
Yeah, he's got
but
the pace.
He is hulking, man. Like, move.
Broski, do you remember his goal against us?
Like,
you do not have a right to hit a ball the way he hit that ball. He was falling over, leaning on a man, and he kind of
falling away.
But full power. All he's done is flick his ankle
at him. Let me explain something to you. I don't understand how a man that looks like he needs WD-40 can move and finesse the way he
finesses. Do you know what it is? I feel like, do you know what it is? It's the low socks don't help. The sock can't even get over his calf. The sock, he's got a memory card of a shin pad. Car, he just moved to anyone. And the shorts is just, but he is looking like, let's have it right. This is tournament football.
It's a battering ram.
Yeah, this is tournament football where you have to make it difficult. Gyökeres is meant to make it difficult.
I don't think Gyökeres was bad against Holland, you know?
No, he wasn't bad.
I think he was bad.
But at the same time, the fact that Holland had a big battering ram like him up there with the finesse, with Gakpo going crazy, you lot's future signing, maybe Somerville going a bit mad, the young pulling strings. Netherlands, for me, look a lot better than recent years. 10 shots on only, they only had 10 shots on goal.
I said only.
But to win 5-1 with 10 shots it's efficiency.
Yeah.
You understand? What would happen if they took 15, 20 shots? They look good, man.
You know it is? See that Brobby guy, yeah? He was keeping it so simple as well. He wasn't, you know, after 1, 2, 3 set-offs, yeah, you start saying, yeah, I bullied this guy, let me try spin him. He was just keeping it simple,
Follow those instructions, well.
Yeah.
Me and Mark said there's going to be about 679 goals in this tournament. Gakpo has gone and got the 100th, making it the fastest addition to reach that milestone since 1958 when Wales and whoever else done their thing as first timers. I can't remember who it was, but I want to let man know something. By the 33rd match, there was 100 goals. In the 1958 World Cup, the first game was last 16. There was only 16 teams in that tournament.
It's crazy.
So now I'm looking at Wales qualifying in that, like, What did you do? You took two throw-ons and you was just there. So, you know, I'm going to rate it because you have to beat what's in front of you. But 16 team, what, do you know how much countries there are in the world? That's insane.
We spoke about it before.
They took advantage of the fact that there was no TVs like that. They just said, yeah, the World Cup started next Wednesday. Yeah, the Uruguay have won. It's mad.
Massive.
Yes. Literally. Literally.
Do you know what it is? I think this year, yeah, should be the start of a new record, though, because there's so many new teams, like, it's 48 teams now. You can't say, oh, the most goals ever, because there's previous more games. Years, there's less games. Do you know what I'm saying?
But you let me hit that World Cup ball.
Ping. So right here, we have the official World Cup ball. And you mentioned the ball. Where? You're the first person I've heard mention that.
Mm-hmm.
Another World Cup where the ball was mentioned. Was it the South Africa?
Yeah.
The Jubilani ball.
Yeah.
I call it Forlan's son.
Forlan, yeah.
Because Forlan was just giving that ball all kind of different licks. I don't know what the ball did to Forlan, but yeah.
Different.
But this ball, it's made out of 8 panels. No, let's make some stuff up about it. It's got the green for the grass.
Don't move it too much, though. You can see it's the Fugazi.
It's the Fugazi thing, isn't it? Let me just hold it. Let me hide the valve. Where's the valve? The valve is making it so big.
We got a replica.
So we got a replica.
Supposed to have built-in digital.
Yeah, it's meant to have everything. This one, I don't know where. 2 years shape guaranteed. Official one's got about 14 years. I don't know. But yeah, now all jokes aside, look at that. It's got the star for the USA, the maple leaf for Canada, and I think it's like a Native American headdress for Mexico.
And like a hawk or an eagle or something.
And it has it in every language as well. It says replica. Someone who struck this ball quite sweetly the last time I was watching him. Luckily, it wasn't against us when we were at the London Stadium. What's his name? Crescencio Somerville. He is linked to Arsenal and United. I was prepared to forward here and argue why Arsenal is a better destination for him. Now PSG are involved.
Yeah.
What do you think of this? In regards to hype surrounding. There's a couple. Matheus Fernandes was actually relegated. Couple Tottenham players are getting looked at. Bergvall and obviously Leeds. Relegation players that were in relegation battles are being, top teams are interested in them. What do you think of this?
I'll be real. I wouldn't be, I think he's okay. I wouldn't be angry if he went to Islot instead of United.
Yeah, same, likewise.
Because we don't need that. Like, we need somebody who's able to start. I don't think he's... Like, is he good enough to start? Yeah, but you're only going to be okay.
38 games? Champions League? Do you know what it is? Because Leeds survive, they are going to ask for a fee. He ain't going to be 30 million.
Let me ask you something, I'm quite interested and intrigued to see that you lot are even discussing this.
Well, because you think it's just a write-off? He's not good enough?
It's not that I don't think he's not good enough. I just don't think he fits the module to any one of our teams. And also, if you look at him last season, it was in and out. A couple injuries here and there.
Fitness issues.
Potentially, it might just be back off the back of World Cup hype. He's looking decent in the World Cup. Now, I think he's a super dope player. But
dope.
He don't fit. He don't.
Dope's I too much, he, man.
No, when I mean by super dope, I mean like he's a good young talent. Do you get what I'm saying?
How old
if
is
I want
he?
To put it like that, he's a good young talent, yeah? And he scored a good number of goals for both teams he's played for in England.
Is he too good? Is he? Oh, my days. I'm talking like he's a Leeds player. He did get relegated. Sorry. He did get relegated with West Ham. Sorry,
Leeds.
I'm moving
he
like
left
he's
Leeds.
A Leeds
Oh, yeah,
player.
He left
yeah.
Leeds and went
he
to West Ham.
He did get
yeah.
relegated with West Ham. So he won't cost what he would have costed if he was a Leeds player. But again, I just think it's maybe not Arsenal and United, but he should definitely be in the Prem still. Maybe not at a team that's got the pressure of fighting relegation. So you see like a mid-table-ish going on to eighth, ninth.
I think he might be better than that.
You're saying it's like a Villa situation?
No, I feel like he can go, and this ain't no diss towards Uzlot, but I feel like he can go to Uzlot, but be a backup. You're not a starting player.
Do you know what it is, yeah? I'll be honest.
Why do you say he's not a starting player?
Let me ask you this, Woody. I'm going to ask you two questions. Is he better than Gabriel Martinelli?
No.
So he's worse. How much worse is he?
Not far off.
Because that's where it is. I don't think he's like...
And I say that to say this. The reason why I don't think he's better than Martinelli is because of the impact that Martinelli could potentially give you sometimes in a game.
100%. Yeah, but he can have that too, though.
Yeah, but they're two different types of players, and I'm looking at my squad.
I think he's got the... I think ability-wise, he has more than Martinelli.
Oh, he's way more
tricky. But I think when it comes to application, yeah. Martinelli's got him, innit?
Yeah.
He's been doing this top level. You get me? You see when he come on against Brazil the other day?
Brother. I just had a vision. We're going to be in trouble the new season, you know? I feel like he might just... I feel like he might just turn up. Like,
I think where he goes, he'll do well.
Do you know what it is? Everyone, like, cool, he was at West Ham, got relegated. Sometimes you need to make that big move to turn up.
100%.
But that's what I'm saying to you. I just don't feel like if he goes to Man United, he's probably going to be expecting to start. You go elsewhere,
you get to fight for your place.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Hold on one second. Expecting to start, he's gonna want to start anywhere he goes, regardless.
Yeah, Hundo.
It's not about he's gonna be expected to start because the club expect him to start or the fans expect him to start. He's going to want to start anywhere. He's just got two goals in the World Cup. He thinks
he's gonna think he can start. Because if he lands at us, it'll be off the strength of us getting rid of Trossard or Martinelli.
Mm-hmm.
If he lands at you, it's gonna be off the strength of not bringing back Rashford. So he's gonna say the guy that should have been ahead of me isn't here.
Yeah.
I can start.
Is he better than Rashford?
Nah.
Nope.
Oh.
But again, it's similar. I think if we were to rank the three, it goes Rashford, Martinelli,
Somerville.
I think the gap between Rashford and Martinelli is similar for the gap between Somerville and Martinelli.
The gap between Rashford and Martinelli is massive.
You think it's big?
Yeah, it's big.
Like, see, do you know what it is?
And I think ability, not
perform, like both of them in their prime. Yeah.
Oh no, that's without a doubt.
The gap is massive.
No, Rashford in full flow,
technical ability
is like top three left wingers in the world. You understand? But the issue is, I don't think Martinelli's far off that. But bringing Crescencio Somerville into that conversation, this is why I think none of us should sign him. Because if we're saying Martin, for me, yeah, Martinelli is the entry level. Like, if you're going to win a league, yeah, that's the worst one of your wingers can be. I'm not, and that's not dissing, man. Winning a league is a big ask.
Yeah,
it's a big ask. But for you to perform, because let's have it right. Martinelli turned up this season a bit better than previous years.
Oh.
In those previous years, we couldn't win the league based off not just blaming him, but the fact that he got it a little bit right this season. Less numbers, but less erratic. A bit more for the team, a bit understanding his role a bit when he's getting on. Brilliant in Europe. You understand? I can't see Somerville doing that in his first season.
I think
season.
He's just a cheaper option, someone that you could bring in
and just give him
less money.
Yeah.
And then...
Well, that's not what I need. That's not what we need.
On the flip side, who plays in a similar position, who is going to get bought for way more money than I think he should cost, that Yann Diamande Ivory Coast, who looks good. I think you could maybe say he's as good as Somerville. You can pretend that you've seen something that makes him better than Somerville.
Do you know why he looks better? Because he's quicker on the eye.
But is he better, really?
He's got a heavy first touch.
Heavy.
Trampoline.
But only reason I allow him is you can see in that Germany game and he was making these mistakes. You could see it in his face. The pressure was getting to him. You could tell that I know the camera's on me right now. I know I'm a potential 100 mil player.
Yeah, but that's because everyone was making so much noise about him after the first game.
I think he was good against Germany.
But he was just... Do you know what it is? I always try to say, no one would understand what a winger has to do until you're actually a winger, innit? So even if you're centre mid, you sending a winger on a run every single time, it gets draining. Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, especially if you're one of them cute little centre midfielders who just pop the ball around. He was knackered. Yeah, he's not everywhere. Going to last that
long. Shall I tell you the
long?
Truth as well, yeah? Especially in today's game with this wide forward situation. Mm. As a winger now, you either have a good game or a bad game. It's hardly ever in between. If you have an okay game as a winger, to the masses, you looked bad. You understand? They want to see you running past, man, putting in crosses, this, that. You understand? Your primary attacking threat now.
Do you know what's crazy is? The way how the game is even structured in this day and age, yeah, you can't even run past the man all the time.
Of course
because
you're
not even in the position to receive the ball to be able to go that way.
You're getting it touchline and the guy's just waiting for you. Like, yeah, be on the touchline. Come, let's dance. You understand? And that's where the pace is eliminated. Mm. If I'm here, I'm not even facing that way. I'm just trying to stop you. I'm not giving the, let's go. I'm on the goal side and written. I'm showing you the inside, the outside. Nah, brother. But yeah, the Ivorian Diamande, the Liverpool target from RB Leipzig, who, did Liverpool get Naby Keita from Leipzig or the other one? Leipzig. It was the other one, innit?
No, Salzburg.
I think it was Salzburg.
No, ain't it Leipzig?
Was it Leipzig? It was Leipzig. So Liverpool have already paid too much money for African man from Leipzig. So it would not be the first time, but he assisted, is it Frank Kessie?
Yeah, Kessie.
Yeah, as they took the lead against Germany. Let's speak about Ivory Coast for a second. I tweeted that the way football is played now, African teams will make progress in this World Cup. I'm not saying they'll win it, I'm just saying they'll have good performances against top European sides, and Ivory Coast proved that to the limit. You saw it with Senegal and France the other day. Obviously, France had too much quality, ended up winning the game, but that first half was tight. Nico Jackson,
creating all sorts
the PSG
of
player that ended up scoring. Ivory Coast now, dare I say it, might be the best African performing team at this tournament so far. So I'm telling you for a fact, I watched that game zero kickoff to the final whistle. Mm. Yeah? Pepe came on. I think it's the Brighton player, Adingra. If he didn't get caught up in the occasion,
they were looking good.
They win that. And the way they were getting forward, the way they were playing it. You know who I really like from Ivory Coast? Forest midfielder. Is it Sanguer?
He's decent.
Very good ball winner. Keeps it simple. Receive it on the turn. They look good. Another player I want to call out. Everyone's talking about Bouadi, who looked decent the other day. Mm-hmm. They had a centre midfielder. His name is Christ Inawi, I think his name is. Broski. Yeah, he plays for Trabzonspor in Turkey. And they jokingly tweeted, yeah, you lot know about him now, 61 million euros, or we're not even, they said 61 million,
Price,
61 no, million is, euros, I we're not even
that,
picking
though.
Up.
I respect
he
that.
He was quality.
Yeah, big him
he
up,
He was
man.
Quality in that game. Yeah, bro, their whole team performed.
Did you big up Pepe?
Yeah, nah,
when,
big up Pepe.
Because when
Pepe
he
came
on
5 minutes,
wow.
And for me, he done more than Yann Diamande. He obviously had a...
Not more than Diamande, more than Diallo.
Did you see that run for
that
the
run
thing?
Was nah.
Broski?
He was cut, aye.
Bro, every time he got the ball...
I was shocked he was still
he was
so rapid.
Gone. Yeah, he's still quick.
He's
still
it.
Really
he
quick.
He is out
But again,
of
the African teams, they're landing. Bro, I'm seeing African players in the water break not drink water. A man's just there, like, yeah... Big up Red, they're used, this is
they're
their climate.
This,
they wake
though.
Up
yeah,
to this,
they're built
bruv.
For this,
they're
man.
Built for this. What do you mean water break? Man's just going to go get the next instructions from Carlos Quarez and the mandate. Yeah, so another African country, Egypt. Mo Salah has inspired Egypt to their first ever World Cup win with an assist and a goal. Super Mo Salah. So Belgium, like we said before, entered a golden generation. I don't even know how I did that. We just explained team player for player they had it. Their golden generation started about 12 years ago, maybe three World Cups ago. But 12 years is a long time in football, but it's not like they haven't had players getting through within that 12 teams as well. So they're in a really good cycle of Belgian players. Kevin De Bruyne, last World Cup, was rubbish. I remember that. Obviously came in with high expectations. He's known to be quite overweight off-season. So I think he just wants to nyam food in these times. Instead of that, he was in Qatar having to do things for his country. And he wasn't great. I remember Hazard not being amazing in certain tournaments. So is this the most disappointing generation of talent to not win or even be properly threatening in a major tournament?
No, because see, when you look at them on a whole year, it's like...
There's a lot missing.
Like, you've got a winger that's good, a centre mid that's good, a centre back that's good. Other than that, and then it's like, okay, maybe Lukaku's hit and miss. They don't have a well-rounded team.
Yeah, and where they do, their best performer the other day, the goalie's good, but their best performer the other day was Trossard. He broke some record, most chances created since whatever. But bro, that's a 31-year-old winger. You don't need that. Fair enough, you want him to play that well, but you need other guys to at least be alongside that level.
You say other guys, yeah, but then who are these other guys?
Lukaku's... I'll be honest. Lukaku looks like he shouldn't even be there.
Lukaku
anymore.
Should not...
Like, I'll be honest. They created a chance, a really good chance. And you see, just the fact that the chance was going to fall to him, it wasn't a good chance.
No, but he's not nothing. You got to look at it. No, come on. Let's not be too harsh here. Let's not be too harsh. He's had a real bad season, hasn't he? He's had a real bad season.
I don't even know. Who does he even play for?
Yeah, who does he play for?
He's at Napoli, isn't he?
Napoli.
Yeah. Napoli.
And he's been injured for most of the year.
Then you shouldn't...
Do you know what it is? Every time I talk about Lukaku, I have to stop. But his numbers are amazing.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's younger than me. He's probably like 32 now. Maybe even 31.
He's older than 32.
Maybe 33 then, oldest. I'm sure Lukaku's definitely younger than
him. I don't think he's that old.
He left the Prem in his 20s. You know, he has 121 Prem goals. That's not a joke, you know.
It's not a joke.
Like, he's don't get it twisted. He's definitely a shell of himself. 33, so yeah. He's my year or year below, yeah? But let's have it right. The way this guy started his career...
He played 5 games this year. Lukaku played five games this year and he's got one goal. You have to bring him to the World Cup because for Belgium, he's Lukaku and his numbers are his numbers. Let's not take away from his numbers, regardless whether you like his style of play or not. The man gets goals here and there.
It's not about his style of play though. See, for Lukaku to perform, I feel like, physically, he needs to be in prime mode. And I mean, see, there's some player that could have a little bit of extra timber on them and can still perform. He needs his body fat.
He needs about a stone and a half off.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I see him try to turn and it was just like...
Looking like a trapped off.
But I see his training videos, And from his training videos, you can honestly see this is a youth that's been striking balls well for his whole life. When he catches it, he catches it. God bless the keeper. When he don't catch it, he looks like he's not even a footballer, bro. Because again, he's too heavy. He's too heavy. In any sport where you need to be mobile, you could go over that threshold of being too heavy. Like you said, there's players that could turn up, little bit of extra weight. You know, by December-ish, they get back into their flow. My man just stays that shape for years.
Let me ask you a question, right? When we're looking at frontmen and we're talking about forwards, etc., right? Now, I think that Lukaku is a little bit of an anomaly. And hear me out here. Let me land. And I say that because he was very mobile when he was younger. So people are expecting... he's a big man that is mobile. So people are expecting to see him be mobile. Realistically, a man that size normally, that's a hold-up man.
But he goes over, he could go over the top.
He could go, he's running behind. He's got a bit, he could knock it past the man, and had a little burst about him.
He could, exactly.
But we was watching Lukaku do something different that a big man does not usually do, a big man of his stature. So now, we're criticising him because he's just doing a big man role.
He's not even doing a big man role, though.
I think his mobility is so gone. He can't even hold. He can't even hold up a ball properly. If that ball rolls an extra this length away from him, he's
caught. You're done.
I remember the video. He's with, I think this is when he is a Everton player. He's with Jamie Carragher. It's probably about a decade ago now. Mm-hmm. And he basically says, bro, if I get on this side of the defender, it's a wrap. Yeah. And then the video just goes into a montage.
Didn't Menes post something like that yesterday?
Yeah, what, for...
I think he posted a video like that.
What, of himself?
No, of when Lukaku was spinning Carragher.
Bro. And basically, it went off into a montage of him doing that. If he pins you and gets to spin, you're done. It's about him and the keeper now. But to have that spin, you need to be able to do it.
His finishing's kind of fell away a little bit.
No, I just think with lack of fitness, technique goes. It's as simple as that. To trap a ball, run, then trap it. Fair enough, it's mainly technique. You need to not be tired.
5 games, 1 goal this year. We know he's coming off the back of a bad season.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be sharp. But at the end of the day, Belgium are saying that's still Lukaku.
Are Belgium in, because they had that hot phase, yeah?
They're golden.
Are they back into rebuild now? Back into
transition? They're definitely entering a transition.
100%, 100%.
Because everyone we're mentioning is 30 plus or gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where's Carrasco? He went Saudi when he was about 20. He went Saudi when he was about 15. He went Saudi before it was cool.
You know what shocked me though? I'll say this, because I was a bit shocked, because I see Tielemans with the captain's armband. I thought it was De Bruyne.
There you go.
And
there you go. It's already...
But then is that like...
Passing of the torch.
The manager saying... But the manager's gone after the World Cup anyway. But I'm saying, is that... Because
who's their gaffer? Martinez.
Martinez. But De Bruyne was the captain for Belgium, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So is that them saying like,
it's
a new day, yeah, man? Yeah. Do you know, like, you're kind of past it. Is this the start of something?
It's De Bruyne's last World Cup.
Yeah.
So realistically, when you look at it, it's his last World Cup. Potentially, discussions have been had. That's how it goes in football, man. It swings and roundabouts, ups and down. You're here today, you're gone tomorrow. And this is where we're at.
Woodsy, it should be this man's last World Cup. But you see the way the world is moving, we might see him again.
Man, the Euros.
Portugal have a chance to get things right against Uzbekistan. That's why Haidar isn't here. Doesn't want to talk about Ronaldo against his cousins. Even though he's not from Uzbekistan, we still say he is.
He's got Uzbekistan, he's from,
but should Ronaldo start in this game?
I'm going to say this. Yeah, I'm Leland. He needs to start, but he needs to score some goals as well. Like, let's be real, yeah? When you look at a game on paper, you say, here are your goals. Here are your goals. And I feel like because Ronaldo's Ronaldo, when something goes wrong, they all come looking for you, innit? So if he don't turn up now, then you're just on the back of newspapers again.
Do you know what it is, yeah? I feel like they refuse to take into consideration. He's been in Saudi for a little while now, man. Like, he does not... Like, so to be in Saudi, then World Cup, this is a step up.
Because a lot of players was leaving Saudi and that, going back to Europe for the last 6 months,
exactly,
5 months
to
or
go
whatever.
Get ready, get and ready.
Let me
be
explain
sharp
something
and,
to you, yeah? Yeah? You see, when it comes to football, like... Even in regards to myself, when I've dropped down a league, yeah, that year, first year in that league, I'm electric. I'm better than people in that league. But once you stay in that level, all of a sudden, you seem to be in and around that level. So I can understand why potentially he's not as sharp as what he
100%.
Thinks he is. Yeah. I think in his mind, he thinks that I was just going to be as sharp as what I usually am. But you're playing against players that are not really levels and brackets.
Yeah.
And the facts of the matter is, but being Ronaldo, knowing how he is as a person, yeah, if I was him, I would potentially go into that next game and say to myself, I've got 60 minutes. I am going to run like hell in this game.
That's not his
story,
and
try to
though.
Bag goals and also change the
You
narrative.
Know what it is? We say this, yeah? Don't play Ronaldo. Who'd you play?
The other boy, isn't it? The PSG boy. Do you know what it is?
What's Gonzalo his name? Ramos.
Yeah. Because you know what it is, yeah? He will offer things other than just trying to score.
Bro, he don't even play at PSG.
Yeah, but that's because Dembele's there.
Yeah, but then there you go.
And do you know what it is? Like, this is what it is, yeah? I think he needs to have a conversation with your boy. Yeah? Bruno. Bruno can cross a ball really well. He can head a ball really well. Mm-hmm. Let's create something. Even if it's me knocking it down for a next, yeah, you understand? Because
that's not Ronaldo's story, though. His story is not assist.
It ain't, but at the same time, his story is action. If you put him in the thick of it, he will perform. He will perform. He only gets greedy and all of that stuff when you kind of bypass him and he's like, I ain't had the ball 10 minutes. All I right. got the right
do
to.
Do you think, yeah, all right, there's so much stigma around Ronaldo. Do you lot really even think in your mind that Ronaldo's not there hoping and praying and that he can get into the knockout stages and potentially win the World Cup?
Portugal has, was it underdogs? Not favourites, but underdogs.
Bro, Haider was so convinced. He told me these men are going to win the thing. Vitinha, Neves and Bruno. What are you talking about? I'm saying Broski. If you ain't got Pep, or a PlayStation controller in your hand, that midfield isn't great.
No. Nope.
It's that, like, player for player, on the ball, wicked. What happens when other things can't happen? Because the nine is Ronaldo. The left winger might be Rafael Leao. The right winger's, who is it? It's not even Bernardo. Is it Bernardo? These are not guys that's going to run. They're going to, if you try to give them the signal, go, they're just going to look at you like, brother, are you mad? The guys that won't do that now, Ramos.
So are we looking at Portugal as a squad that's got too many arrogant big name players?
One sec. Don't let them get away with that. Too many arrogant big name
Maybe
players.
Maybe not arrogant.
You've got one. You've got one. Ronaldo.
You've got two. Bruno.
Hold on. You think in that Portugal dressing room, Bernardo Silva don't think he's a big
Bernardo,
dog?
Bernardo.
You don't think Rafael Leão thinks he's a big
Rafael
dog?
Rafael Leão. What are we talking about? He's here? A big dog for no reason.
Rafael is a rapper. Is a rapper boy. Yeah. So he's
sitting
now.
There as Fredo. Put Fredo in the England team. You think he's humble? And we're doing it again. Offside again. What are we doing? Tuchel, no. I'm not coming off. Brete, all of you get me? Like, you can't chat to these men. Bernardo just signed for Real.
But he's humble with it.
Bernardo is not humble.
Bernardo's
not humble.
Man said to Bernardo, I watched one interview. Man said to Bernardo, do you go to the gym? He said, gym, that's for players that is not good.
See?
Yeah, but you're confusing. Did these lot have Ronaldo's thing? No.
What? No, but again, that's the issue. Ronaldo has to be in an environment where he can go... And everyone goes, Cristiano, I'm sorry. We will, come on, Cristiano. You think Bruno's doing that? Bruno's looking at him like, brother, I just brought the assist record, player of the season. Like, this is bragging rap.
I mean, he's got like, how many prems has he got? 3-4?
Who?
Bruno.
Prem.
Prems?
He's never won a league.
Oh, Bernardo.
Cup.
Bernardo.
Oh, Bernardo. Yeah. Bernardo's got three. Bernardo's got a couple.
Yeah.
Bernardo's got...
Bernardo's.
Dare I say, I want six or seven. Broski, he's
Bernardo's
one
ridiculous. Yeah. His catalogue is stupid anyway. Yeah. You think that he's taking chat from anybody? Nah.
Hey, bro, it's not about taking chat. They're team players.
They're not team players. No, Bernardo is a team player.
So
yeah?
is Bruno.
No, Bruno's a leader. I'm not even saying player. He's not a team player, but he's a leader first, isn't it? Bruno thrives in an environment where he is the man. Yeah. Rafael Leão thrives in an environment where he is a man. Ronaldo's only been in environments where he's the man since he's been, 22? So all of a sudden, you put him in this place where all of these guys weren't... Because that's what I worried about, what France would do. Mm-hmm. Because France are accepting, Mbappe, you're Superman, will somewhat play for you. Mm-hmm. Bernardo... Creative player, he kind of plays for others anyway, but he requires the same effort and work rate that he's putting in. You understand? And for me, Bruno, again, work rate. He works his ass off, bro. When you see Rafael Leão and Ronaldo now, they're like, bro, like, I'm running my ass off. And
Leão don't even, but Leão's not
starting. But he gets on. You know he gets on. And when he gets on, And he gets on because of his physical presence, his directness, the way he finishes. He gets on and just takes the piss, bro. You understand? And I don't think the Brunos and the Vatinas, for me, Vatina's underperformed. People are taking it too far and saying, oh, Vatina outside of the only Vatina we've seen outside of the PSG system is for Wolves, and now it doesn't look good. I don't think it's that deep, but at the same time, if you're going to play Vatina 6, you need to have certain things in
certain
place. You have to have certain things
certain
in place.
Pieces.
So to put Neves and Bruno there, not the worst in the world, but balance-wise, ain't perfect. Where the balance will become good is these men are very creative players. You're very dangerous on the ball. The front three has to act like the midfield behind them. I like that, bro. They got to move for them. If you've got creators and rare, because Bernardo right wing, he ain't going to run. He's just going to try create with them.
He's basically
and
inverted
also,
winger.
Remember, Bernardo's not really an out and out winger. He's a man that likes to just pull in off the wing and play in a pocket and look to link up with the front man from there. But you've got a front man that don't run.
He's on running, man. Don't do that, man. He's going to run against Uzbekistan. Trust me.
Aye, that cousin of... Listen, crowd, what do you think? Should Ronaldo start? Or is this the game that he kind of just has to move to the side? Like the game that they won their only major tournament this century... Does he have to sit on the bench and let someone else do it? The live show, boys. Tickets are on sale. We're hitting Liverpool, Manchester, and of course, our hometown, London. See links to buy tickets in the description box below. It's going to be a big one. Also, remember to subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. And if you are subscribed to this channel, you most likely aren't subscribed to Extra Filthy also. Please get over there and like and subscribe up the thing over there. The majority of the World Cup videos are over there. Yeah. Three-man midfield. That does work. Lippy, Beanos, Woodsy. It's as simple as that. We don't need no one else. John, Menace, Steve-O, everyone else. Watch out. I like this a lot when you lot aren't here. Big up the man, them. Remember to comment below. Share, hype, like, and subscribe. And you know what? I'm going to do a little health warning for them. Plenty of water, please. It is hot as a rust out there. Yeah? Stay in the shade. We got the people there.